Welcome back, everybody, to the You Make Me Sick Snapshot, where in under 10 minutes, we choose a pathogen, discuss what it is, how it affects you, and why it may be relevant and in the news today. In this week's episode of the Snapshot, we will be discussing the screwworm. So what is a screwworm? Starting with the basics, the screwworm, otherwise known as Cochleomyia hominivorax, is a larval stage of a blowfly. Some of you may have heard of botflies before. Blowflies are a bit different. Botflies are sneakier. They use other insects to plant their eggs and are known as the infamous subcutaneous breathing bump in humans. Blowflies, on the other hand, like the screwworm, are far more aggressive and far more destructive to tissue. The reason for this is that screwworms actually need living tissue to survive. Typical maggots will usually only eat dead tissue. This is why they're often used in something called maggot therapy, which actually exists, and it's actually pretty cool. Maybe we'll get into that another day. Back to the screwworm. So, how does the screwworm infect people? So, the female fly lays her eggs in an open wound. It could be a mucous membrane, small scratches, anywhere they can find an opening. Once in place, the larval stage of the screwworm, otherwise known as maggots, tend to burrow into the host. Now, this is where screwworms actually get their name from. Once embedded in the host, the screwworm performs a twisting and tunneling movement further and further into the tissue, destroying and consuming everything in its path. Infected hosts suffer from severe tissue destruction, secondary infections, and if left untreated, the possibility of death. So, who do screwworms infect? Pretty much any warm-blooded creature. They'll infect wildlife, livestock, pets, and even humans. Any warm-blooded animal with a cut or a wound is fair game if a blowfly is close by and able to lay their eggs. So why have you never heard of the screwworm before? Back in the day, in the 1930s and 40s, ranchers in the southern U.S. were losing thousands of animals and millions of dollars to these parasites. So they came up with a plan to eradicate it. Starting in the 1950s, the United States launched a bold eradication program using a technique called sterile insect technique. Scientists released millions of sterile male screwworm flies to mate with the wild females, who would then lay their eggs, but they never hatched. And it actually worked. By the early 1980s, screwworms were officially eradicated in the United States, and later for most of Central America. But here's the catch. They're still around. The screwworm is endemic in parts of South America and the Caribbean, and with increased global travel, animal importation, and climate shifts, the threat of the screwworm entering back into the United States food supply still remains. In fact, in recent years, there have actually been reemergences of isolated cases. In 2016, there was a serious outbreak that occurred in Key Deer in the Florida Keys, where over 100 animals were euthanized due to severe infestation. It was the first major domestic outbreak in decades here in the United States. And then just this past year, and recently in the past couple of months, there's been renewed concern after cases were detected in pets and livestock that were imported from the Caribbean. This included from Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And both the USDA and the APHIS, which is the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, are keeping a close eye on these developments. Biosecurity protocols are in place at airports and ports of entry, especially for animals coming from endemic regions. So why so much concern for the screwworm? So in a worst-case scenario, there could be a repeat of the pre-eradication days. This means massive economic loss, animal suffering, and a full-scale emergency response, which could be made worse by today's interconnected world and climate dynamics. The good news is we do have the tools in place to help prevent this from happening again. The sterile insect program still exists. It's still active in Central America, which is great because it acts almost as a buffer zone. There's also hope for early detection, rapid response, and strict import controls to help prevent any future spread of the screwworm and the bowfly. For clinicians and veterinarians, awareness is key. The screwworm cases can look like infected wounds, abscesses, or trauma, but if there's excessive tissue destruction, foul smell, if you happen to see any burrowing larvae, screwworm should definitely be on the differential for that. Don't just assume it might be a garden variety myiasis. And though there have been no confirmed cases of screwworm here in the United States, Several Central American countries, including Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Honduras, Guatemala, and Mexico, have recently reported dozens of human screwworm cases, and this does include some fatalities. Again, the screwworm, once it enters, it's obligated to eat live tissue, and it will keep destroying and destroying and destroying. So not caught early enough can definitely lead to infection and, as I just mentioned, death. So that is our snapshot on the screwworm. Once again, the screwworm lays eggs in open wounds or other body orifices. Its larvae feeds primarily on just living tissue. This causes serious damage, sometimes leading to death. It's not picky about who it infects. Its hosts are a wide variety of livestock, pets, wildlife, even humans. And it can be found in South and Central America, formerly here in the U.S., hopefully not again, but that's kind of why I brought this up as a subject for our snapshot, is that recently there have been concerns for it. So, big shout out to Dr. Joseph Kaserman, who actually brought this up the other day while we were standing around talking about maggots and maggot therapy. For those of you interested, please check out maggot therapy. It's actually a pretty cool treatment that is used for several different ailments. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us again on the You Make Me Sick Snapshot, and remember to wash your hands.